什么 jumping 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 jumping。Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Generic Life Show. We're back. I don't know why I'm doing that. We're back. It is the Generic Life Show for the 14th of January, 2015. It's episode 16. And it's GLS. Why is that doing what it needs to do? That was my fan entering in the frame of shot there, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a bit to get through tonight. It's not... we got a lot to get through, but you know what? I'm actually pulling every single bit of news that we have. Oh, and by the way, I'm Dale Campbell delivering of your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. This week, it includes both, but we'll get to that in a sec. And a weird sort of follow-up for an old story, plus... a collection or a follow-up to... Yeah, it's a follow-up discussion point. Points with an S. The first time we're doing two. So we're going to see how we do for time. But let's not waste any more time and jump straight in to the headlines. Taking the internet by storm, ladies and gentlemen, is that the internet is ripe with hobbyists. Reading the wrong headline. The internet is ripe with hobbyists with building their own adorably tiny arcade machines. There you go, that's something to look forward to. But those lacking basic electronics and soldering skills are left out of the fun. Wah, wah, wah. Forced to feed quarters into the full-size arcade cabinets. That's what makes the Nano arcade so great. It's a fully functioning 10th scale arcade machine that comes completely assembled and ready to play with a working 360-degree joystick and six buttons just for $40 US. Why do I keep saying the Neo arcade? Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby. The Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby arcade machine is 3.2 inches LCD display, controls, and a built-in speaker, all powered by a pair of AA batteries. So finding replacements if you're out and about is a lot easier than locating a free outlet to charge from for half an hour. And in lieu of running MAME, the Nano Arcade runs Java, giving it access to thousands of J2ME games you've enjoyed on your mobile phone since the iPhone arrived in 2007. So while all your favorite classic arcade titles are not supported, though there are certainly endless Java clones available that can easily be uploaded to the Nano Arcade using its micro USB port. It's a pretty nifty machine. I've had a look at some online ad just recently in preparation for putting the show together. It's a fantastic looking machine. I really want one. And for $40 US, you can't really go wrong unless you're in Australia. But we'll talk about that in a sec. Class at Greendale Community College will be back for another season. The sixth season of Community, a cult sitcom that originally aired on NBC, will premiere on Yahoo Screen on March 17th. We have a date. The premiere of the show is a significant step for Yahoo as it tries to... It tries to forte its digital media offerings. Complicated sentence full time. The Sunnyvale, California-based company is trying to attract premium advertising to its web properties, which will also include Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Finance. It's one of several digital companies in its business of creating its own content, including Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu. Unlike subscription services such as those mentioned above, which release an entire season of episodes all at once, Yahoo will be releasing a new episode of Community online every single Tuesday. Which, by the way, I'm not opposed of, actually, that still releasing them week by week. Blink, blink, week by week. Releasing them week by week, kind of retains the viewership, because those people who release those episodes, blocks at a time, lose out because they're one-time visits and they watch the entire season and never return. So there you go. In sad news, a tragic gas leak at one of LG's domestic OLED TV panel plants this week might have some big ramifications for the TV market. South Korea's Ministry of Employment and Labor has ordered LG to shut down the factory while it investigates the accident, which killed two workers and injured four. A spokeswoman wasn't willing to predict the closure's effect on sales for Reuters, but it comes days after LG unveiled its Best of CES winning Art Slim OLED set and might affect a timely launch, at least for Koreans, if the investigation takes a while. The victim and the plant's safeties undoubtedly take higher priority, but just don't be surprised if there are ripple effects. This literally happened today, so there's obviously more to come to this story. If you've been holding off purchasing GTA 4, well, that's because it's gonna look so much better on PC. Rockstar will keep you waiting a little longer. The original release date was set for January 27th, but Rockstar today moved it back to March 24th. Holy shit, almost 3 months. The reason? Additional testing and polish is required. Rockstar counts this as a quote-unquote slight shift in the release, and to help cushion the blow, they've released details on what exactly what kind of PC you'll need to run, as well as a host of new screenshots, which you can view, which you can't view in this gallery above because there is no gallery above. Can't you tell I edit my own script before reading it? The bare minimum specs are as follows: Windows 8.1, Windows 8, Windows 7, or Windows Vista, all 64-bit versions. Intel Core 2 quad-core 2.4 GHz Q6600, or AMD Phenomenon 9850 quad core 2.5 gigahertz CPU, 4 gigs of RAM, NVIDIA 980 GT 1 GB, or AMD HD 4870 1 GB, 65 GB of hard drive space. It's not too high at all, but be aware if you are still running Windows Vista, it is highly recommended. You'll be also be running a NVIDIA graphics card for the game to function properly. Why the high hard disk drive space requirement? But I think everyone is expecting that based on the size of the game, including GTA Online. And finally, last week, rumors. Apple rumors. Beep, 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 beep. Last week, a rumors stated making the rounds that Apple is finalizing the design of the 12-inch MacBook Air, codenamed MacBook Stealth, is expected to be the slimmest MacBook ever released. But Apple has made a few hard choices in order to achieve that, including removing everything except the USB Type-C porting from the casing. If that sounds like too much of a compromise to you, but didn't expect the 11-inch MacBook Air to still be around as an alternative. According to DigiTimes, the 12-inch model will replace the previous 11-inch Air. Haha, 11-inch Air. Rather than featuring alongside it going forward. It actually makes sense when you consider Apple has been made, had thought to make the 12-inch model about the same size as the current 11-inch Air. They still don't sit well next to each other in the Apple Store. If a 12-inch MacBook Air sounds fantastic, then you'll like DigiTimes' other claim. It'll arrive in the first quarter of this year, before the end of March, as I should turn that on silent. It is being manufactured by Quanta Computer, which also happens to be in charge of the Apple Watch production. If this 11-inch air days are truly numbered, then it is safe to assume that the price of the 12-inch model remain close to the price point of that of the smaller laptop it replaced. Apple is expected to keep the 13-inch model in production, but surely CoPro's hardware designs will also have will do something to differentiate it more from the 12-inch. That could be another model whose days are numbered, though, depending on how popular the 12-inch Air turns out to be. That is the most complicated story than just that's a long way of saying that Apple is making a slimmer 12-inch MacBook Air to replace the existing 11-inch. I like doing things the hard way. Trust me, it works. And that is a look at the headlines. Drink break! We get to take a drink break now and tell you about all the different ways you can support this show. Being a part of the Geek.io network, you can head on over to geek-io.net/support. There, you'll find all of the companies to help support the network. It helps us all, and you can go over to our Patreon site at patreon.com/geek.io. That also helps us out as well with a small monthly donation is all it takes per month. And there are some awesome goals in that Patreon to help us get to some pretty awesome goals. So please, please help us out and get us there. geek-io.net/support or patreon.com/geek.io. And actually take that drink break that I was deprived of during that read. All right, so where do we want to start with this story? I was actually the thing with this story is I was debating on whether actually do it or not. I was reading this, I was debating the story. And I'm like, what other story is there to do? There's not really much going on. I could just focus in on this Netflix story or. There's not really much going on there either, but you know, I could talk about that, or I could talk about this other thing. Let's talk about General Motors' boss chiming in on Holden's closure. I'm gonna play before I read to you this news article that I found because I don't really have, I have a bit to say on it, but I don't really have much to say on it because my opinion. We first discussed the manufacturing industry of this of Australia in episode 4. If you believe it or not, that was in the previous incarnation of the show, and I still remember that. I know, shocking, right? But we're going to be talking about that because this article brings up that old information. So here is a clip from a video that I pulled because Hangouts on Air and my computer disagree on occasion. But here we go. I'm gonna play this clip from the news.com.au. The page that this site was, this the story was on. So here is the clip right now.
General Motors has finally revealed the details behind the decision to close Holden's manufacturing operations by 2017. The head of international operations for General Motors, Stefan Jacoby, says it is impossible to manufacture cars in Australia regardless of government assistance. He also said that comments by the government did not force Holden's hand. In fact, it's been revealed that the phone conference with the GM board that sealed Holden's fate was happening just as Treasurer Joe Hockey was demanding Holden to come clean. All eyes are now on Toyota, which says a decision on whether it will continue beyond 2017 will come sometime this year. The signs are not good, however, with Stefan Jacoby declaring that it is impossible to manufacture cars in Australia given our high costs and the government's plan to sign more free trade agreements, which gives imports the upper hand. Toyota would not comment on the GM statement, but make no mistake, the numbers are just as grim for Toyota as they were for Holden. At this stage, the most likely scenario is Ford shutting down by 2016, Holden by 2017, and Toyota by 2018. Of course, the brands and the dealerships will keep selling cars. They'll just be imported, not made locally anymore, ending almost 100 years of vehicle production. This is Joshua Dowling from the Detroit Motor Show.
That's... Alright, podcast people got shocking on that one. But no, I... That clip kind of doesn't sum up the story well. It raises the main points of that, which is basically Stefan Jacoby at the Detroit Motor Show saying that the government assistance and just overall government assistance and just overall economy environment doesn't help Australia, doesn't help Holden in manufacturing cars locally. And Jacoby kind of goes back and forth on his statement. He then says that it's impossible, like the clip said, that it's impossible to manufacture cars here because of high costs and free trade agreements, which I agree, there are a lot more free trade agreements being signed by countries and Australia because just the environment's better for it than anything else. And you got to think, over the last 2 years, Holden alone, this is Holden we're talking about, not Ford, not Toyota, who, by the way, that is speculation that they'll close down by whatever time that is, because that's just the way that the manufacturing environment is going, that once one closes, the others are not necessarily doomed, but the others aren't going to operate the way that they were. Because the market isn't going to shrink. Newsflash, we're still going to be selling cars, but they're just going to be imported, which means they'll be imported cheaper than what they already are. They'll be imported at a lower price because free trade agreements will open up a reduction on tariffs and a reduction on those types of taxes will be lower on a free trade agreement, and they won't have to deal with tariffs, like I just mentioned. Thusly, importing is going to be a better option than to remain open and try and compete with all of that. My prediction is this is not an official prediction, just for the record, and I'm not brave enough to do official predictions. That's why you didn't get a GLS prediction show, because I'm just too scared shitless to do a prediction show, honestly. But the thing is, they're all going to close down not a year apart from each other, but I reckon 2 years apart from each other. I think Holden has confirmed their shutdown for 2016 or 2017. Does it say in the article? Three years. So I'm going to say 2017. I think, and Ford has already confirmed their shutdown for 2016. I think Toyota, a whole year for Toyota to stay open, to keep manufacturing cars, is a huge step. That's a long period of time. 52 weeks for a car manufacturing company to effectively, you've got two car at this point, come 2017. So let's fast forward 2 years. You've got both Ford and both Holden shut down. Toyota isn't going to last a year with two major car companies who were manufacturing in Australia. Two companies that are manufacturing in Australia are now importing cars at a lower cost under free trade agreements with no tariff. Well, with limited tariffs, let's say, for instance. Let's say that the tariffs at that point have declined. And let's assume for a second that all of the dollar and all of that has remained roughly the same. Let's assume that just for this It's gone up, it's gone down, but come, let's say middle of 2016, it's come down to Holden closing. Generic live show 126. No, I'm just kidding. Holden's closed down. Ford's closed, been closed down for a year, a whole year. Holden closes down. You can't tell me that Toyota, a company manufacturing vehicles, automobiles, is going to remain open for another 365 days. Let's assume that there's a whole year between Ford and Holden shutting down, because Ford has already confirmed that they're shutting down next year. That's confirmed. Holden's still up in the air that whether they're going to close down by 2017 or they're going to be. They're definitely revealed at the GM Motor Show that they're going to want, quote unquote, wind down their operations. Yeah, quote unquote. But who knows whether ultimately they're going to be closed down. Maybe that's the strategic way to do it, is maybe you leverage this. Maybe Toyota looks at either what Ford and Holden does and says, all right, let's try and salvage ourselves. It can either go one or two ways. Toyota stays open for another year and winds down their operations, or they close. Because if we're not even a major, we're not even a major Toyota manufacturing plant, if my memory serves me correctly, and I should have done my research before the show. Major plant. See, I can type. Let's look at Toyota Global. No, I don't think we are. I think that's still in America. Plant or Japan, maybe? Think. Because I think they're. Yeah, they're still. This is mentioning. This is still mentioning. Still mentioning. All right, fine. Going down this list. Thailand. There you go. Thailand is still where their major production's at. Let's just for shits and giggles here. Let's see. Yeah, that's the thing. All right, so we're still. Toyota is still producing 106,000. Oh no, breath into the microphone. 106,000 production units. We're not the worst, and stay with me here. Nine. There are 1,000 units being produced in Portugal. There are 3,000 units being produced in Noah in Indonesia. There's 64,000 units being produced in Mexico. Yes, most of their plants are in the USA. I'd say that's where the most breeding ground is, most concentrated, has got to be in Thailand. But the thing is, we're 106. We're not. Toyota is not doing terribly in Australia. And the thing is, if people catch wind that Ford and Holden have shut down in Australia, then the need for a car that is made in Australia would become more significant in the way that, you know, the the need for a car. This is Australian made. Because in that in episode 4, I mentioned that Australians have pride in Australian made manufacturing, because that is a huge ploy. That is a huge marketing tool, and Toyota can use that. Whether they stay alive based off that, then yes. The thing that gets me is 200 million government incentives have been injected into Holden over the last 2 years alone. Think of where that money could have gone, excuse me, instead of in an industry that is, and I hate to admit it, because I would love everything to be made here, because it's just the pride and whatever else comes with it, not necessarily the price, but maybe that is another marketing tool for Toyota. But we'll get into that in a sec. I'm going to school for this type of stuff, so people, excuse me while I geek out here for a sec. But the thing is, it would enable Toyota a bunch of marketing tools, essentially. So you gotta just take it out. And Holden doesn't have a manager, a boss, if you will. They don't. They're still without one after 4 months. So it's troublesome for them that they're still operating. And the last Australian to actually hold the role was in 1990. So Holden, despite this, Holden was on the downward turn anyway. Despite the injection, despite the tariffs, despite the imports. I think they're right. They're predicting a between 2 month, a crossover into a new year, a 2 month shutdown. 2 months, I don't think so. A year? No way. So, somewhere between 2 months and 2 months and 2 months is too short. A year is too long. I think about six. Six is where I'm comfortable in saying that Toyota stays afloat. Ford is closing down no matter what. They've come out and said, yes, we're closing. Now Holden's going, oh shit. But, and sorry, I've sworn, but I've got no, I'm just going to go. We're PG-13. We're not too bad on this show. I try not to go that bad. But it's interesting. This stuff is interesting to me, alright? Leave me alone. This is my show. This is my generic live show. You do your own generic live show if you don't like what I'm talking about. But Holden, the government was trying to keep Holden alive for too long. And now it's become apparent that they didn't do anything. And that it's just a 200 million investment gone down the drain. It's a shame. But that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay at all, but it's okay because they're going to be coming to close to a business. But anyway, I could talk about this stuff all night long. But I won't, because we're about half an hour. But I'll just give you a few more quotes on what he said. I'm still of a strong opinion that it was the right thing to do for Australia, and it was the best thing to do for Holden overall, even though 1,400 Holden factory workers will be out of a job in the next 3 years. He's in support of the shutdown. If I don't get it, because if why were people keeping Holden afloat? Just because they were Australian? They were Australian first? I don't know. But GM spoke out and said, there you go. here's why we're shutting it down. And it's an informed quote, it's an informed decision. Boom. We're losing manufacturing in this country. Slowly, to import, and I get it. It costs a lot to get things out here. Material prices high domestically at the moment, the dollar's not that great. But if free import tariffs are in place, then it's free to import or cheaper to import, dodge tariffs that way, etc. I just don't think that it's not worth saving a sinking ship. And it's sad, and I don't want to see manufacturing go away, particularly if the car variety, the automobile variety, because it's a huge industry. How many cars do you see? And I'm typing the particularly of the automobile variety. Although arguably, Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby machines is probably going to be the winner. But no, I hate seeing this stuff go. But anyway, let's move on to this quick little discussion point that we have about Netflix coming to Australia in 2015. That's right. Let's see. It's launching on this date for this much per month. No news. The only thing we have on that one is that it's coming in March. They haven't said anything else. Back in November of 2014, they said it's coming in March. That's the thing. That's all we have. What are we getting? Once again, Netflix hasn't given us anything. But it'll be the smallest amount of content on any Netflix variety on day one. But they'll use the Netflix recommendation engine to put more content up. Because that has been announced. So there you go. But what has been announced is a small number of its original shows, like Marco Arco, BoJack Horseman, Vergena, Mission Blue, Unja Be Kidding Me Live, and Jimmy Jeffers' Bear. And coming to Australia later in 2015 is Bloodline, Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt, Marvel's Daredevil, Sense8, Grace and Frankie. Will Australia get different shows to the US? This one is true, but some people, there's a sense of the word lesser Netflix experience. Netflix is bound to have its licensing agreements in the same as other content providers. It negotiates with the right holders of shows and movies. Then the rights, that means some rights are assigned regionally. It's where this gets a little unusual is that Netflix is also the content creator thanks to its original programming. And this makes the company both a rights holder and a content provider. Netflix has licensed out some of its own content. House of Cards, Orange is the New Black are two of the oft-cited examples. This means that there are other content services in Australia, be there pay TV or free-to-air. That means the rights of those shows shows locally. Netflix has said they're looking at buying back the rights for some of these shows, but more importantly, ongoing series content will have a global rights domain on Netflix. Specifically, the chief product officer of Netflix, Neil Hutt, said that scenarios such as Foxtel and House of Cards will be a historic footnote. So House of Cards will not be on the Australian Netflix when it launches because it's on pay TV. Hopefully it buys it back. And the big story of this week, Netflix is starting to block VPN users in the lead up to the launch. Netflix is categorically denying that it has made any changes to its policy about people using a VPN to access the American version. It's an ongoing beer in the bonnet of local content providers in Australia, such as local media subscribers will mask their location to access the US version of Netflix. Hunt said that people who are using VPN service to access our service from outside the area will find it still works exactly like it has, and I can attest to this. Netflix does blacklist known VPNs, as it always has, and it does this because of extent of global versus local rights issue that we looked at before. So it goes against Netflix's terms of service to be using a VPN, even though you're paying for the service. The thing that cracked this open, though, was the technology behind the Netflix Android app. Quote, on the Android app, we have added a failsafe. That is, if the DNS times out, we fall back on Google, go back onto Google's DNS, Hunt said. This could result in the app ignoring the VPN's DNS settings, which allows access from outside of regular regions. So there you go. Anything else? Yeah, there is the 4K content, which only 5.8% of Australians could probably access. Netflix has also launched its Netflix recommended TV program during CES. Actually, let's have a look for this real quick. The show hasn't gone long enough, so let's look at this. Netflix to recommend TVs. Oh, this is boring. Okay, there you go. What TVs do you need for Netflix? Fan-freaking-tastic. There you go. Alrighty, let's see. There you go. That's going to do it, I think, for us. Also, I wanted to mention, I have signed up for Stan. The streaming service is going to launch here locally in the next couple of months, they're predicting. By the Nine Network, it has a ton of movies on it, apparently. So there you go. I've signed up for their newsletter, and hopefully I get informed more on that. And I'll pass that on to you as soon as I get it. Okay? Okay. I'm going to do this wrap-up real quick. Thanks to friend of the program, Savannah, for doing our artwork, as per always. You can find us on the Chef Wonder and Geek.io podcast network, chefwonder.squarespace.com/GLS, geek-io.net/GLS, our Google Plus page at gplus.to/genericliveshow. The video archives will be found at youtube.com/genericliveshow, and you can support the show at patreon.com/geek.io. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you next time. We'll see you next week. Boy. Radio program provided by the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. For more radio programs like this one. Copyright 2015. See? 2015.
Copyright 2015. Geek.io.
You're listening to Terrible Tuesday Movie Night, where we watch bad movies to save you the pain.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Join us every single Tuesday as we pick a horrible grade movie and rip it apart with your host, Dale Campbell.
Yes, and the one with the guy with the hockey mask.
right here on the Geek IO Master Feed.
Anyway, how is your sex life?